It's time once again for the Rose Chat Podcast, your source of inspiration and motivation to achieve the rose garden of your dreams. Join award-winning gardeners Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington as they explore the world of roses and chat with the world's top rose experts, authors, artists, curators, and more. Try Haven Brand Soil Conditioners, providing generations of gardeners with a truly all-natural alternative to chemical fertilizers with their line of composted manure and alfalfa teas. Find them online at manuretea.com.
Welcome to another edition of the Rose Chat Podcast. We're glad you've joined us today. Now, it's National Volunteer Week, and for over 40 years, this week in April has been set aside to rally the troops and to raise awareness on volunteerism in our own communities. In a statement this week, President Obama said, through countless acts of kindness, generosity, and service, America's recognize that we're all bound together, that we move this country forward by giving of ourselves to others and caring for those around us. Every day, Americans carry forward the tradition of service embedded in our character as a people. And as we celebrate National Volunteer Week, we embrace our shared responsibility to one another and recommit to the task of building a more perfect union. Now, to that end, our guest tonight epitomizes the volunteer spirit.
You are so right, Chris. Herb Grasshoff is our special guest this evening, and he is a volunteer at the San Jose Municipal Rose Garden, and he's logged over 1,300 hours in that garden. He's here to tell us about this beautiful garden and about all the ways they recruit and train the folks who come out to help. So stay with us. There's more Rose Chat coming your way.
Since 1999, Rose Mania has been your one-stop source for all your rose care needs. From chemicals and safety equipment to garden tools and fertilizers, Rose Mania offers the top products at some of the best prices around. They even sell bare root roses. Rose Mania carries a full line of products to help battle fungal diseases, insects, and mites, while not harming the beneficial insects you want in your garden. Shipping is free on merchandise orders over $25. Their staff of consulting rosarians is available to answer your rose questions, so visit them today at rosemania.com.
Hi, I'm Phil Paul with the American Rose Society. My family has been growing roses for some 50 years. My wife and I have grown roses across the United States for the last 25. There's nothing more breathtaking than a beautiful display of roses in full bloom.
No matter if you're an experienced rosarian or are just beginning your first rose garden, the American Rose Society is here to help. It's a tremendous resource for making your rose garden the envy of your neighborhood. There's even a rose photography contest for members to showcase the best of the best. Each member will be published in the American Rose magazine.
We invite you to become a part of one of America's oldest horticultural societies and the home of our national floral emblem.
For more information on becoming a member of the American Rose Society and on the Rose Photography Contest, visit ars.org.
Well, hey, Herb. Welcome to Rose Chat.
Well, thank you very much, Teresa. It's a pleasure to join you this evening.
Oh, we're so glad to have you. Herb, start us off by talking about the garden itself. Tell us a little bit about it.
Okay. Let's see. Our garden is, as you have already mentioned, I believe, the San Jose Municipal Rose Garden. The reason why I bring this up is, or emphasize this, is because the city of San Jose has a second rose garden, and that is the Heritage Rose Garden. The one where I volunteer was dedicated in 1931. It is about 5 acres, and the area that's planted with roses is about 2.5 acres of that. So we have, as you can see, quite a large garden. We have approximately 4,000 roses and about 200 different varieties.
Oh, my goodness. That's a lot of roses. This garden's won a lot of awards. Can you tell us a little bit about some of the awards that you've won?
Yes, I can. We were nominated to be the best rose garden in the nation in 2011. In addition to that, in 2013, we received an award from GROW, G-R-O-W, which stands for Great Rosarians of the World, and we were inducted into the Hall of Fame. Apparently, they have rose gardens inducted into the Hall of Fame all over the world, one of which is the Peggy Rockefeller Rose Garden in New York, Modestfend Abbey in the UK, David Austin Rose Garden in Albrighton, UK, and then again the San Jose Heritage Rose Garden, which is also inducted into the Hall of Fame. And recently it was announced, not publicly yet, but it will be in about 2 weeks or so, we are going to receive an award from City Parks Alliances. So don't know what this is all about, but it has been announced that we will receive an award from them, which is something that makes us very proud, of course.
Oh, you should be very proud. I read a quote about your garden, and it says this: the success of America's Best Rose Garden is mainly due to the thriving team of volunteers through the Friends of the San Jose Rose Garden, and that's a very special endorsement. Well done, volunteers. For a garden of this size, Herb, I'm sure there's lots to be done. So what's a typical day like for you there?
Well, we take care of the roses. We do the work that needs to be done to maintain all the roses, keep them in good condition. In other words, what we're doing is we are weeding, we're deadheading, we're pruning, we're mulching, we are removing old roses that have lived past their life. We are planting new roses. And so as you can see, it's the daily work that's required to maintain a rose garden. We do not apply chemicals. That is something that the city does, the city crew. We're not allowed to do this as volunteers. And also the city maintains the turf and also the irrigation system. But everything else that is required to maintain and grow roses is done entirely by volunteers.
That is so impressive. I'm kind of interested in the pruning process. Right now, I'm in the middle of pruning my roses, and I have less than 200. So I'm just wondering, how long does it take to prune the garden?
Well, the major pruning that we do in the middle of January, take care of those 4,000 roses. We have probably 200, 300, 400 volunteers, depending on the year, that come in and do the entire garden within roughly 2 hours. The entire garden is pruned. Now,
that sounds good.
Now that,
that
is
really good.
That, of course, is what I call rough pruning, because we mark the height of each bed that should be pruned, and we have people come in who may have never seen a rose bush before, and they start pruning. So the volunteers, after all of this is done, the volunteers in the next few weeks go through the garden and do the fine pruning. In other words, we cut the bushes to the correct height, to close a quarter of an inch to the next eye or a ring. So that's the fine pruning that we do as experienced volunteers.
Well, you mentioned the experienced volunteers. How were you introduced to the volunteer program?
Well, I've been retired for 19 years now, and I was always looking for a volunteer job where I could schedule my own time and my own days to do the work. And that took me a long, long time to find this. One day my wife and I went through the municipal rose garden and we started talking to two volunteers. And they gave us all the details and I thought, this is just a perfect job for me. That was exactly 5 years ago. And I have been working there ever since. And it's a gratifying job for me. And as I mentioned briefly a minute ago, the beautiful thing is that we as volunteer can schedule our own time. We can work as many hours as we want or as few hours as we want. And we can basically do whatever we feel like doing that day within reason, of course. Of course, you know that we can't prune, major pruning in the middle of the summer. So within reason, we can do whatever we want to do.
Had you grown roses before before you came there as a volunteer?
No, I've never grown roses before, and you may not believe this, and maybe I shouldn't mention this, but I still don't grow roses at home. Why should I? I have 4,000 rose bushes to take care of. So I'm perfectly satisfied with what I can do in the garden.
And you're there so many days. Okay, so if you were not a trained, you'd not grown roses before, was there a training session or is there an educational program for volunteers?
Yes, there is. We go out and we try to recruit new volunteers, which is not an easy thing to do. But once we have some people that are interested in volunteering at the garden, we give them a one-hour basic training program. After that is completed, we then ask them to work with experienced, what I call green-vested volunteers. The volunteers all wear a green vest. We ask them to work with people who are experienced and show them what to do and not to do for about 4 to 5 hours. Once they have completed those, a total of 5 hours, they then qualify for a green vest and become an official gardener, a volunteer gardener. So that's our program that we have.
Yeah, are there incentives as you go along? I look at the vest and I'm thinking, oh, I definitely would want to be the one wearing the vest. It's a great looking vest. Are there incentives or how do you keep people on as volunteers?
Well, that, and obviously your experience with volunteerism, that is not always an easy thing to do. First of all, it's somewhat difficult to find volunteers, and then retaining these volunteers is a very difficult thing. For example, we have over 200 people on the roster, but we only have about 10 or 12 people who do the actual volunteer work on a weekly basis. So retaining is a very difficult thing, and I know all volunteer groups experience the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
But what we do to retain people is we have some social programs where we have a pizza evening, or we bring in, we give a little talk to volunteers, a little pep talk. We bring in some pasta salads, a green salad, and we bring in water, cold water in the summertime. What we also do once every few weeks on a Friday, we bring in cookies and lemonade and just stand around and chat a little bit and have a good time. So that's basically what we do to retain people. But it's a difficult chore to do that.
Now, I'm about to tell you, I'll come and help you prune for a cookie.
Yeah, you're welcome anytime. You have my telephone number, and I'm sure you have Terry Riley's telephone number, who is our one of the co-founders of this volunteer group. Anytime you're out in San Jose,
we want a cookie and a vest.
There you go. Anytime you're out in California and San Jose, stop by and see us. We would love to have you.
We'd love to. Herb, didn't we hear about at some point that you had different groups come in, like the Google volunteer or Google employees or something like that? Did you have a program where you brought in different groups?
Yes. Yes, we do that. Terry is, and I just mentioned Terry O'Reilly, he is a great organizer. He can organize all of these different activities, and we really depend on him for doing those sort of things. And yes, indeed, we have groups coming in, large groups from Google and other Silicon Valley companies who once or twice a year come and help us for about 4 or 5 hours a day. We also have high school students come in periodically who help us, and they're doing a fantastic job. And then we also have people that are assigned by the city of San Jose to work for a certain number of hours a week for financial support that they receive. They come in and they do a fair amount of work as well, in particular weeding, and we're very grateful for that because weeding is, as you can probably imagine, mm-hmm. something that very few people want to do.
Erin, back to the garden just for a minute. Lots of people use this garden. Aren't there weddings and activities and different things going on throughout the year?
Yes, there are. We have a centrally located elevated area, which we call the stage, and adjacent to that, we have a very nice round fountain with a little pool surrounding it, and that is used for weddings. And also the elevated area, the stage area, is used by all the San Jose high schools for their graduation ceremonies. Every year, for many, many decades now, the San Jose high schools have used that for their graduation ceremony. So, yes, there's lots of activities going on there.
Every time you see pictures, you know, it looks like it's just a fun place. If there's just people there having lunch, and I saw pictures of weddings, and looks like a very active place that's beautiful, but people actually use it and enjoy it.
Yes, it is. Especially Mother's Day, which is, of course, coming up here in 3 weeks or so, that is a very popular place. People bring in picnics, spread out a blanket on the lawns. We have extensive lawns, and we do have picnic tables, a number of picnic tables with benches attached to it. And so it's a popular place. And, of course, the climate is always such, especially in the summertime, that you can plan way ahead, weeks ahead, and you know when your activity will take place. Your weather is perfect.
My daughter just moved to Southern California, and she said one of the things you do not do out here is check the weather app. Here in Indiana, we check the weather app all the time. What's it going to do? What's it going to do? And she goes, in Southern California, you never check the weather app because you know what it's going to do. It's going to be beautiful.
Yes, it generally is. That's correct.
What happens when, I know many areas in California have had drought, and we know roses do like some water. So what, do you have plans in place for when the rains don't come there?
You know, I am not really in a position to answer that question. It's mainly the city that deals with these issues. But so far, I haven't heard anything at all. I don't know if there are alternate plans in place to address that if it should come to that point where we cannot, you know, come up with sufficient amount of water to keep the garden green and beautiful.
And you told us it was in full bloom right now.
It is approaching full bloom. There are some rose bushes that are completely in full bloom. Others are just starting to open up. For example, I noticed this morning that Iceberg is one plant, one rose bush, that has not completely opened up yet. But others, especially some of our climbers that are all around the periphery of the garden area are in full bloom already. It's just magnificent.
So when did you plant new roses this year?
Late January.
Mm-hmm.
And I noticed...
I think we were under about 17 inches of snow in late January, so that sounds really good to me.
Yes, I'm sure. And I, one of my co-volunteer, he and I, we planted some more roses this morning to fill in some places. And we happened to walk around and looked at the rose bushes that we planted at the end of January, and some of them are actually blooming already.
Oh, my goodness. Okay, you've been looking at these roses and how beautiful they are. Do you have a favorite?
Well, first of all, I must say that I'm partial to yellow. So all the yellow roses are my favorite roses. There's Julia Child, which is an absolute magnificent rose. And there is also one that is, well, not totally yellow, but got a little bit of brandy color in there, and that is Celebrity.
Beautiful.
Those are definitely two of my favorite roses that we have in the garden.
You know, for years, Chris bragged about his Julia Child till I had to have a couple, and you're right, Julia Child is outstanding.
Yes, it's a beautiful rose. It sure is. And the beauty, of course, is that it has so few thorns. It's so easy to work with. You don't get stabbed and you don't donate blood in a rose garden too frequently.
Well, that's a really good point. Well, I was looking over your volunteer page, and I love how you log in your hours so people can keep track of what they've done. And it even had a listing on some of the top volunteers, and there was your name. But I tell you, you've got some stiff competition. Some of those guys have been serious for a while, their rose volunteering, haven't they?
Yeah, there are two people in particular who – one has spent almost 3,300 hours in the garden, and I forgot the other one who is the second most prolific volunteer. He has spent something like over 2,000 hours, I believe, in the garden. So, yeah, we have a few people who are there almost every week, several days a week, and spend about 2-3 hours every time they're there. So, yeah, we really depend on these people because those are the core of the volunteers that we have.
Mm-hmm. You know, I have a friend who's starting a small public rose garden and will be looking for volunteers starting this year and ways to encourage them. You know, what advice would you have for her?
Well, you know, attracting people is probably one of the most important things. And to attract people, we do that by advertising at different companies. We sometimes advertise at church, at different churches, and ask for volunteers and these kind of organizations. I know Terry Riley, our co-founder of the volunteer group, in the past has placed ads in papers and asked for volunteers. And the problem, of course, is, as I mentioned earlier, how to retain these volunteers. And that is a secret that none of us have really discovered yet.
I think that's a secret that we all need for whatever work that we do is finding people. And I'm sure the garden is an enticement, too, being so beautiful. I'm sure that she entices people to want to come and be a part of it, too. She probably plays a very strong part in that.
Yes, it is. And there's one more thing that I may want to mention when you talk about, you know, how to recruit new volunteers and how to retain volunteers. I mentioned the green vest that we all wear before to
mm-hmm.
you.
Mm-hmm.
One of the additional things that we do, and a lot of new volunteers are very proud of that, and that is with every 10 hours of volunteer work, we give them one little golden star to put on their vest.
Mm-hmm. You're talking the right person. I would love that. That would be
yes.
great.
Yes, and you know, we have people that have 20, 30, 40 golden stars on their vests. We also have people who have accumulated so many gold stars, they don't wear them anymore because they simply get too heavy on their vests.
I love that. That is incredible.
Yeah, but that is a good incentive that I have found in the past. I've actually given some stars to some volunteers because I happen to be there all the time and I happen to know where we keep the locate the gold stars. I've actually given some to people. They have been so proud. They brought their camera. They pinned the first gold star on their green vest, and they have me take a picture of them with their first gold stars. So that's a nice incentive.
Oh, it really is. I also saw a picture on your website, and it looked like someone had a cake that had numbers on the cake. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think that was on the volunteer website, and I wondered if it was a celebration of so many hours or something like that.
Yes, I do. As a matter of fact, I believe that was the last 1,000-hour volunteer that we had a little celebration for. And she was given a cake with the number 1,000 on it. We also had recently a little party for the fellow who has the most volunteer hours in the garden. When he finished his 3,000 hours, we had a little celebration at one of the local libraries where the city councilman attended, and he was the volunteer was given a plaque that said completing of 3,000 hours and those kind of things, and so. Yeah, we had refreshments, we had food there, and those are the kind of things that we do. Also, when somebody completes their first 100 hours of volunteer work, we acknowledge that in front of a larger group of people. The city councilman generally appears and gives that person a plaque that commemorates the 100 hours of volunteer work. So, yeah, we do those kind of things. And I think they're very important.
Oh, I think they are very important. And, you know, having your picture made, getting your gold star in front of this beautiful garden, it shows the work that you're doing is very valuable. And I'm so glad that you are appreciating those people. That is very wonderful. Well, Herb, it's been our pleasure to have you this evening and to hear about this lovely garden and the wonderful work you do there. We're very proud of the work you do, and the fact that so many get to enjoy it is just such a bonus.
Well, and it's been my pleasure, of course, to participate in your program, and also I would like to thank you for inviting us, the people who are active at the San Jose Municipal Rose Garden, for making it possible for us to share some of our experiences with you and the rest of the Rose community. So thank you very much for everything. It was a pleasure for me, and I much enjoyed it.
Well, it certainly was our pleasure. So enjoy your beautiful garden. It's just about in full bloom.
I will. Thank you very much, Chris, and thank you very much, Teresa.
Well, friends, we've placed links to the Friends of San Jose Rose Garden on our show page on Blog Talk Radio, so be sure to check it out.
That's right. You know, Teresa, I don't know about you, but I'm just so impressed by this volunteer spirit that I hear in Herb and that I know from looking at this website. The hundreds of volunteers and those dedicated few who show up there, you know, multiple times a week just to put in just a little bit of extra effort to make this garden truly America's best rose garden. It's just an incredible experience, I'm sure, to be out there. And this garden's going on my bucket list.
Oh, I know. The pictures are just outstanding. And, you know, there's a ton of Julia Child there, Chris. That'll be your big draw.
I know. You know, I'm going to have to go and find Herb when I do go out there, and he and I are going to stand in front of the Julia Child, and I'm going to get my gold star.
You get your gold star, get your picture made. Oh, it'll be worth it.
That's right. Well, friends, it's hard to believe we're at the end of another broadcast, but we'll be back next week with another awesome guest. So until next time, happy gardening from your friends at Rose Chat.
Thanks for listening to the Rose Chat Podcast with Chris Van Cleve and Teresa Byington. Hear previous podcasts via our website, rosechatradio.com, or listen to this podcast via iTunes and Stitcher apps. Be sure and give us a 5-star rating and share this show with your social networks. Your friends will thank you. Join us next time for another edition of The Rose Chat. Rose Chat is a production of the Rose Chat Media Group, Birmingham, Alabama.